For those of us just starting out in our e-commerce journey, selecting a sales platform can sometimes be intimidating. Do we want to go with something like Amazon or Etsy, where there's a built-in audience and a lot of different features that we can leverage? Or do we want to build on something like Shopify, where we may have more creative control, but we then have to drive traffic to our site? It's definitely a conundrum. Well, today's guest is Grace Hayden, an e-commerce CEO and expert who has built and sold multiple products on platforms such as Shopify, Etsy, and Amazon. She has over 20 years of retail experience, including a degree in retail business, and now she helps others build successful e-commerce businesses by focusing on the fundamentals and foundations of retail. On today's episode, Grace runs us through the five P's of e-commerce, explaining how they work together to create a strong foundation for your e-commerce business. She shares the pros and cons of selling on a platform like Amazon, and she shares two of her favorite Shopify apps that you are going to want to check out. She explains why she likes them and what they are, so you want to stay tuned for that. Today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide. If you have struggled with what to say, when to send an email, or how to plan out your email marketing strategy, we have the tool for you. I want you to head to proof2product.com/email marketing. I have a free guide that will help you plan out a year's worth of email marketing content in under an hour. Yep, we'll tell you what to say, when to send, and help you create an email strategy that works for your specific business. Again, that's proof2product.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Grace, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to talk about it too. So, you know, you recently shared a post on Instagram that said, "No amount of traffic, marketing, or social media can fix a product that nobody wants." And you followed up with your own statement of having the right product changed everything for you. I would love to hear your story. Can you share it with us?
Sure. So I got started, well, years ago. I have a background in retail, a degree from University of Wisconsin-Stout. And so I've been in the retail world for a while. I tried a few different e-commerce businesses, one that had a licensed product, then into handmade, and that was too much. Handmade, after I had my second daughter, I couldn't keep up with running both the manufacturing and the retail side. Yeah. So I pivoted to a new product. It was Turkish towels. And they were something that I just loved and used on my own. And I found a manufacturer and decided to start selling those on Amazon. I wanted to test the product before I kind of dove into having my own store. So that's why I started on Amazon with that product.
Very cool. So was this essentially white labeling then? They were creating them, but you were adding your own packaging to them and reselling them?
Exactly. There were a lot of other people selling Turkish towels, but there was kind of this in-between area where people weren't really selling the neutral kind of basic colors. It was either like bright, bold colors or lots of prints that were more designed for the beach. So I saw that there was a market to curate more neutral colors and package that up as my brand.
So You know, you mentioned in this video, no amount of traffic or marketing can solve the problem of having kind of a dud product. Do you have like a story? Was there something that just fell short with your audience and didn't work before the Turkish towels, I guess?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was selling a licensed product. It was sorority clothing. That was a really difficult product to sell because I was marketing to a market that didn't want to spend a lot of money. Right. They were college students. It was a difficult market. And it also wasn't something that I felt really comfortable being in that space. I didn't have a good community connection within the sororities at university. So it felt like a disconnect for me to sell that product. And then even within like the Turkish towels, when I would try to add different products, like they just would fall short if they weren't in line with what my what my customers were looking for. If I kind of steered away from my branded look, the products would fall short.
Yeah. No, that makes a whole lot of sense. In our paper camp program, where I teach people how to sell their products to the wholesale market, we have a 4-step process that we take them through. And product is that first pillar that we take them through. Like, you have to have a product that you know people want, that it's priced right, that your margins are strong. Like, there's all that analysis that goes into it before we can start moving into sales, marketing, or even scalability of a product. So I appreciate you saying that. I was reading your blog and I saw that you had an article talking about the 5 P's of e-commerce. Do you mind sharing those with our audience?
Yeah. I mean, this just segues perfectly with the product being so important, because the 5 P's starts with product. And then it's person, which is all about the branding. And then you have pricing, your place, and then promotion. And these are the 5 pillars. Every retail e-commerce business needs to have this foundation. And a lot of times a foundation is skipped, or, you know, we're focusing on the wrong area. Like, we're focusing on promotion when really we need to look back at our pricing. We're not making money promoting, or our paid ads aren't working. Well, it's because our pricing strategy is wrong. So they all work together, but they do work in order, right? We need to start with the product before we get to promotion.
I absolutely agree with you. And we have to look at them in a silo individually to see what we're doing and optimize that. But then collectively, that's what fuels the entire engine of the business.
It really does. I feel like it's a strong framework that helps people who aren't into retail the same way that my background has given me.
Yeah.
But it's a nice solid framework, and it demystifies the process. And I think of it like, you know, HGTV kind of made interior design super popular, and everyone thought they could be interior designers. Well, there's principles of design. Like, you have to understand that foundation first. And it's the same thing in retail. And Etsy and Shopify and Amazon have made retail and e-commerce feel really sexy and exciting, but we still need to understand those fundamental pieces of retail before any of our businesses are going to work.
I agree 100%. And to your point about Shopify, Etsy, Amazon making e-commerce feel sexy, it's also made it very accessible. Someone can hop online and post something for sale. I mean, I'm making it sound easier than it is, but it is fairly easy now. The barriers to entry to have an e-commerce business are lower than ever before because the tech capabilities are there. So there are a lot of people, especially the last 2 years with the pandemic, I've found that there's a lot of people jumping into this space thinking it's easy, maybe underestimating how easy it is to start, build, and run a product-based business, and then realizing, oh, wait, I don't have these 5 P's in place. I don't have all the pieces, the strategic pieces that I need to grow this business ready. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even, you know, we have TikTok videos or Instagram posts, and it's easy to say, like, you know, just start a drop shipping business, or it's so easy to make an extra 10K a month. We talk about these sexy metrics that aren't really true, or they're not going to create long-term businesses.
Yeah.
And if you want that long-term sustainable growth, which I think most of us do want that, we want stability from our business, because if we don't have that, it's just a lot of work and it's scary. But so yeah, it needs to be built on that strong foundation.
For sure. So I know you've sold on Amazon in the past. I have to admit, this is something I have zero experience with. About 75% of our community members sell on Shopify, direct to consumer. They also use Shopify for their wholesale platforms. And then we have a smaller percent of our community that is selling on Etsy, either in tandem to their Shopify or just on Etsy. You know, I have a couple questions about Amazon that I'm hoping you can kind of clarify, but are most Amazon sellers reselling other people's products? Is it the white label stuff like what you're talking about with the Turkish towels? Or are these brands that are making, manufacturing, and distributing their own products typically?
It's definitely both. You know, Amazon is the big behemoth. We all think that Amazon is the answer, or like, oh, if I could just get on Amazon, but it's not always the right fit for everyone. I loved it for testing out my product in the beginning. I wanted to make sure that I had the right product and that I could get the feedback from customers. So I was able to easily get reviews on Amazon. But when I was selling, there was no brand protection. So yeah, there was a lot of counterfeits. It was kind of like the Wild West of FBA, and it was expensive. They took a huge chunk of my profits. It became essentially, it was an unprofitable business on Amazon because it was a race to the bottom for the price. I couldn't protect my brand. And then they took a huge percentage to do the FBA fulfillment.
Brand protection and dilution are two of my main kind of question marks around this. I know in our community, we've had a couple of conversations about Amazon. I know some of our people are selling on Amazon, but the reasons you just mentioned, the price sensitivity, the fees associated with it. I mean, we're going to pay fees no matter where we sell. That's just the cost of doing business. But it seems to me like Amazon's fees are larger and more complex and difficult to understand. So, you know, it's not as cut and dry. But let's talk more about that, like brand dilution slash knockoffs. Like, do you think that's still a major issue of selling on Amazon?
I do. So we're going through the process right now of registering a new brand. And this is our own product. This is not a white label product. It's in the camping niche. It's a camp kitchen box that you put all your outdoor cooking gear in. Yeah. And we're the only ones. It's our own exclusive product. So we had to get our trademark in place. We actually had to change the name of the business so that we could file the trademark because the first name wasn't trademarkable. So if you want to sell on Amazon and get that protection, you have to have a trademark. And so we got that and we just filed for the brand registry. It was kind of a process. I had to go through like ID verification. It took at least a week before we were approved, and we haven't started selling that product yet on Amazon. So I don't have current data of what it looks like to sell on Amazon, but I even know like some big brands. I just heard the CEO of Birkenstock talking about how Amazon is not for them. And sure, there's customers and, you know, they can get orders, but just the counterfeits and the extra costs just don't make sense for their brand.
Yeah. I do think it is an individualized decision for each brand to make. Does it align with our values? You know, we talked about some of the risks of selling on Amazon. There's pros too. I mean, they have a ton of traffic. They have a lot of eyeballs on their site. So hopefully that could lead to more brand visibility. What are some of the other pros about selling on Amazon?
Yeah, they take care of a lot, right? They take, if you just sell on Amazon and you do FBA and you have a manufacturer, they can just ship right to Amazon. So that, you know, that's a great pro. I also liked it for testing my product. I was able to get quick customer feedback. So it depends on what your strategy or your goals are from selling on Amazon. It could be that you want to sell a product on Amazon knowing it's almost like a loss leader, like you're not going to make the money there, but then you get them into your own website or there's future products, you know. So whatever the strategy is, if Amazon fits into it, that's great.
Right. No, I also think it's interesting too. You know, there's a lot of people that sell on Etsy and they feel like they have a hard time getting their brand name out there because somebody will say, oh, I bought it on Etsy versus I bought it from Proof to Product or whatever, you know? And so I feel that way. That's similar on Amazon too, where, oh, I got it on Amazon, but you're not necessarily talking about the brand. So that piece of it is tricky too. I think people need to consider that. Switching gears over to Shopify now. Where do you see people underutilizing Shopify? What common mistakes do you see with people with Shopify accounts?
So even more so than underutilizing, it's kind of misunderstanding what Shopify is. Like Shopify is just a platform, right? It's like if you rented a retail space from a landlord, it's just a platform to build your business. And I think some people have it in their minds that Shopify is going to send traffic or in some way support you with SEO and driving, you know, Google searchability. And that just isn't the case. That's all on you. Shopify gives you the tool to build the website, and the tools are amazing. You know, they're unlike any other e-commerce platform. So I'm a huge fan of Shopify. It's super robust and easy to use for building out your website. but it's not going to support you in growing your business, right? They're not going to help you get traffic or even conversions, right?
Well, there's so much more you need to do. I mean, we build it, but we still have to drive the traffic. We have to optimize each page. We have to make sure everything fits the branding and it makes for a good customer experience on the site too. So I appreciate you sharing that. So knowing that it is a platform, you know, I guess, how can we optimize this space? What can people be doing to make it the strongest sales tool possible for their business?
Yeah, definitely understanding like how websites work, how other websites in specifically in your niche, how they're set up, what's the customer experience that the customer is expecting, and following that framework as you build out the Shopify store, right? We need to have a, you know, a hero image with some copy that tells people what we're selling right away and why they should buy from us, right? We need to have that front and center. We also need to know that most people are shopping mobile. And so while we're designing our Shopify store on desktop, keeping in mind that the mobile experience is way more important and to focus on the details of how does this look on a smaller screen and when we're scrolling. You know, we need to have things on there. We have to have a lot of visual assets. We have to have, you know, photos. We need to have testimonials, user-generated content, things that are going to build trust, because when you sell on Etsy or on Amazon, you're able to lean on the branding and the trust that Amazon and Etsy has crafted for you. But when it's your own store, you have to create all of that and instill that in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, I know, 3 seconds. If we're lucky, if we get 3 seconds, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about as you were talking and making it easy for our customers to purchase, the checkout process. What are your thoughts on offering multiple ways for people to pay, whether it's, you know, Apple Pay or some of these others? Do you advise people to do that to make it easier for people to check out?
Absolutely. I mean, Shopify in itself, this is one of the big benefits that isn't really understood with why Shopify versus, you know, WordPress or Squarespace. They really have put a lot into their checkout process in that if someone has bought on another Shopify store, that customer's information can be repopulated on your store. They've never shopped with you before, but you are getting the benefit of a quick checkout where their information is auto-populated, which is why like Amazon is so powerful, right? You can add it to your cart. It's easy to check out. It takes a couple seconds. So Shopify has that same ability. I mean, even when, you know, the buy now button that Amazon made famous and patented, the second that that came available to other people, like the patent expired, Shopify had it available on Shopify stores. So they're really ahead of that customer experience of making it easy to buy from the stores more than any other platform.
Yeah, I agree. As a consumer, I love that my information auto-populates when I'm moving between Shopify sites, even if the brands are, you know, completely different type of brands. It does make it easier. Also, one of the things about Shopify that I think they do a really great job of are their analytics and their data points. You know, are you leveraging the analytics to make decisions in your business? And if so, what kind of decisions?
Yeah. So one big one, especially when I was selling more styles and colors of my towels, right now we have one product store, but it was all Turkish towels, but there were multiple SKUs. I was looking at what are the top sellers and what can I get rid of? And I was always axing those bottom sellers and then testing a new product. And so always trying to build up best sellers on my store and getting rid of the slow sellers as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Also keeping an eye on my conversion rate. Like if I make changes to my website, I want to look at my conversion rate of, did it help? Did it hurt? You know, or if the conversion rate is down, that's kind of a litmus test of, is there something broken on my site? You know, what's happening? So it helps you keep track of the health of your store. And then also the return customer rate. This is something, you know, we're always thinking about, how do we get more traffic, more orders? Well, if you have any past customers right there, like that is such low-hanging fruit to bring those customers back to you. So if your customer return rate is low, we know, okay, we need to be sending some emails. We need to create some sort of incentive for people to come back.
I love that you mentioned this. I actually just did a training in our labs community about customer retention and how to keep our existing customers coming back for more, because it's one, cheaper for us to bring them back to order. They typically order in higher volume and they typically order more frequently if we're setting them up for success and if we're incentivizing them to continue coming back. So having that piece of data points within our Shopify is huge, because then we can measure, we can test and measure. We can see what things are at the baseline. We can test some things out and see whether that number goes up or down and then make further adjustments from there. So thank you for bringing that up, because I do think that is, especially now with the economy the way it is now, I feel that product-based businesses in particular really need to be leveraging and leaning on our existing customer base, providing a better customer experience and doing whatever we can to bring them back into the fold to purchase more from us.
Right. I mean, and avoiding that, like, you know, only treating your first-time customers well, like, you know, internet companies do. It's like $19.99 for new customers, and then loyal existing customers are paying $100. Like, yeah, that's a terrible experience. So we need to be treating each customer differently, but still giving them, you know, the benefits that they deserve.
I love that. So just out of curiosity, what are some of your favorite Shopify apps that you use or that you encourage others to use? I know there's so many in the Shopify app store, and I would just love to pick your brain and hear what you like.
Yeah, there's two in particular that I really love. One is like a consistent cart. I think it's now called Recart, the one that I'm using. But what the app does is it keeps the customer's cart full. So if they put items in their cart and then they leave, it's the next time they come back to your website, their cart's going to be full.
Awesome.
That is so nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great part of the customer experience. They're also collecting more emails and then sending more abandoned cart emails than, like, I use Klaviyo for email service provider, love them, but a specialized app that is designed to collect emails and send specifically abandoned cart emails, I found a better return on that. So it's, you kind of get both from that one app.
Yeah, that's great.
The other is, it's called Lucky Orange. Okay. It's similar to like a Hotjar or anything that's going to record visitors on your website. You can go back, you can watch how people are using your website. You can see where they get stuck. You can see where they click. You can essentially just watch people on your website. And this gives you so much insight into the customer experience. You can see if people are even clicking on things that, you know, you think are important on the website or putting a lot of thought into. You can see, like, oh, no one's even scrolling that far. So let's, you know, either move that up if it's important, or, you know, we need to make this shorter. It just gives you, it lets you essentially look over your customers' shoulders, and it's fascinating.
I was laughing or smiling when you started to talk about Lucky Orange, because I was going to ask you earlier in the interview about Hotjar and some of these others where you can track. And I love to hear, it is fascinating when you can look over your customer's shoulder and see how they're utilizing your website. And sometimes when we're building things out, we anticipate or expect that they're moving through our site in a very particular way. But until we actually see what they're doing, like, sometimes it's shocking how different it is than what we've intended for them to do. So,
And I think customers are using our websites less. Like, we can shrink down what's actually on our website and still provide a great experience. You could even have a one-page website and have it be effective.
I agree with you on that one. I think nobody's reading these days, or at least not as much as we think they are. So, you know, you have over 20 years experience in the retail and e-commerce space, in which time you have amassed a ton of knowledge. That's super clear from just our conversation here. If you were starting over today, what three strategies would you put into place immediately?
Well, I would absolutely start with a product that I personally love and am comfortable selling and it just naturally fits into my life because I know how hard it is to create content, to talk about a product, to sell a product, to have connections with like retailers or a community that I'm going to be selling to. I would lean on that in the beginning, right? Like I would not try to sell a product to a market that I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's a big one. I would also get my pricing right. Because there was a time when I was having a lot of orders, but I wasn't making any money. And so that's such a waste of time. And then also, you know, prioritizing that I'm going to pay myself because if I'm going to do this, it has to be worth it. This isn't a hobby. And if we want it to be stable, even just, you know, the first time I paid myself was $100. And I still remember that $100. It meant so much to me. And there was this switch that happened in the way that I approached my business of like, I'm going to pay myself more. I'm going to be more careful with how I spend money in the business. I think that's my third one is just keeping the business as lean as possible and understanding the value of that. I want to pay myself. And I do also want to pay my contractors, designers. I want to be able to hire other people and invest in their small businesses. So if I can be really smart with my money, I'm able to do that.
Oh, I love this. I did a podcast episode. We'll link it in the show notes about how people can start paying themselves, because I do think that's a common pain point, especially in smaller e-commerce brands. They're so focused on reinvesting any money earned back into the business and they're not paying themselves or they're not paying themselves enough. So we've got a podcast that can help people get started with that and offers a few different strategies. You know, I would love for you to tell me more about your services and how you support e-commerce brands. What are you working on currently that people should know about?
One of my favorite ways to work with people is through strategy calls. I feel like in 60 minutes working one-on-one, we get so much done. And while every business isn't unique, there's, you know, a standard foundation we need to follow, but there are different desires that we have from our business and different big goals. And so we get to talk through those on the strategy call. Every call I start off with, what is the big goal here? And it's always like, oh, you know, let me think bigger. And, you know, what is actually the purpose of this business in my life? And then another way is I have a training that it's a self-audit framework that walks you through building out a Shopify store with all of the required pieces, assets, legally required pages, everything you need to have a functioning Shopify store. And it also comes with a checklist of all the pages and everything you need.
Ooh, awesome. We will be sure to include that in the show notes for everyone. You know, if people want to find you online, they want to follow you on social media, where should they go to do that?
The place that I'm showing up is on TikTok right now. It's at Shopify Simplified. And that's where I'm sharing everything almost every day. I'm sharing just kind of what's on my mind, tips, things I've learned over the past, 20 years.
I love it. I think, you know what? I don't know, Grace, if I told you this, but that's where I found you when I was scrolling TikTok and I thought, oh, she would be great to have on the podcast. So, you know, TikTok's working, friends. It's working. People are paying for services and finding collaborations and buying products on TikTok. So thank you for doing all you do to create.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Grace, for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it. And we'll be sure to include all of your links in the show notes for everybody that wants to connect with you.
Great. Thank you.
I really appreciated Grace's candor sharing what has worked and what has not worked for her in the past as she sold different types of products. Be sure to go check out our TikTok channel for lots of great information on starting and building your product-based business. She shares a lot of excellent tips and strategies for how to enhance your online presence, which was what inspired me to ask her here on the show. Now, before I sign off, I want to remind you that the doors to Proof to Product Labs will be opening again at the end of December. We only open the doors to labs twice a year. So this is your chance to get coaching with me, educational resources, and collaborative community that you deserve. We weren't meant to build these businesses alone, and we have carved out a space specifically for product-based business owners. And we cover a wide range of topics such as finances, marketing, sales strategies, and more. You can learn more and join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thank you so much for sticking around till the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode.